This week on RSBNB Update, a surprise double XP weekend is announced. Content filler or a brilliant move to bring attention to the mining and smithing beta? Also, thoughts on the current update release schedule and a backtrack on the backtrack. This is RSBNB Update, episode 696, recorded Friday, November 2nd, 2018. The Trouble of Double XP Weekend. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSBNB Update. Tanis and myself are in again once this week. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
You know, you might be wondering why is this episode appearing a little bit late in my feed. Well, the answer to that is that we just wanted to get a little bit of clarification in regards to the week's coming updates and whatnot, and the month's coming updates and some of the reasoning behind them. And as such, we decided we were going to hold the show for a specific news post, and that is, of course, the month ahead for November. And, you know, I think this is a very, very interesting week for us, isn't it? Because I was certainly very surprised this week when I read the news. You?
Yeah. I mean, shocked and chagrined. And I was definitely on the before pre-show. I would say I was on the definitely on the emotional side. Now I'm having that head versus heart to inner dialogue right now.
Because I brought you back.
I don't know what to think.
I brought you back down. You back down to solid ground.
Yeah,
but we're getting a double XP weekend on November 16th, running through the 19th at noon. And you know, this is a little bit out of the ordinary, because normally the double XP weekends are in February and September. Last year we had one in May for the run up to Menaphos, and you know, we were thinking, oh, is this a one off or is this going to be the new norm? And looks like this is the new norm: random double XP weekends thrown in roughly about 3 months after one of the other ones. Because you know, we had one in February of 2017, then we had one in May of 2017, and this one, our last one, was in early September, late August. So let's just say we can say that that's about three months difference there for that. So I guess this is the second one in there. And you know, double XP weekends are normally something the community rallies around, right?
Yeah, this is the first time since I've ever played that I didn't get excited. Like this was the very first time I had the opposite reaction of what I normally do. And you know, I really thought that the three double XP weekends was a one off last year. That was one of the reasons like I didn't get, you know, shook up about it. And it made sense, because we were taking a very slow skill like Slayer and putting it to 120. I don't know, that one felt different. That was like leading up, almost building hype, where this feels different to me.
And you know, I think we've talked a bit about this on the podcast in the past, and I don't know, this might be boring to some people, but everything that a company like Jagex does is done for a specific reason. And I have a theory as to why we're getting this double XP weekend for this. So, you know, we have the mining and smithing beta. We knew that was going to drop sometime in November. And we heard that that's going to drop on the 13th. So that's obviously a few days before double XP weekend. And the beta is going to run for 14 days until the 27th of November. So they got 2 weeks there, and that was mentioned in the month ahead for November, and that's specifically why we decided to wait for this post, is because we wanted to know, is there going to be something in this month that is going to necessitate a need for a double XP weekend? And just to run through the month ahead right now, and we're kind of interweaving these here. The month ahead for November includes the Mining and Smithing Beta, the Needle Skips, which is the quest that many, including myself, are looking forward to with, I don't know. I think the last quest I was looking forward to this month, or this much, was either Fate of the Gods 2 or Plague's End. And that's where this rates on quest level. And post-quest URIT was absolutely amazing, the last quest that we got. But in terms of anticipation, this is definitely up there with those kind of quests. So this is an update for questers. So that's number one. We're also getting a little community event. And, you know, I think we can look at community events and you see things such as Till Death Do Us Part, which we got the final part of this week, which was the Halloween event. And you remember last year we had run-on currency token events, right? And the player base said, we hate those. Well, we don't want those back.
Well, and you know what? We had an extension of the Halloween event in November last year.
We did?
Kind of like we're getting... Yeah.
Which was that?
Dimension of the Damned actually happened in November.
Oh, yeah, right. Everyone's favorite update of 2017.
So, I mean, you know, I guess that's fitting. That because to me, that like community event feels kind of like
yeah.
I mean, it's like this Halloween event, you know.
Yeah, this one is called "The Slime is of the Essence," and obviously, time is of the essence is the pun they're making there. And I just got that. I like that. The slime is of the essence.
Okay. Yeah.
I might be finding that a little bit too funny right now. the idea behind this one is tossing your food scraps down a wall can't do too much harm, right? This is possibly true, providing the said scraps aren't feeding a giant slime, which then emerges from the well and terrorizes the local populace. And this is going to run for 5 days. It'll focus on the use of different skills that players must employ to deal with this new slimy menace. They're not saying what the reward's going to be entirely, but there will be some tiered slime hunter armor, as well as a slime pet up for grabs, and this is going to be in Remington. So, you know, it's not a token event or something like that. It's not something people are going to burn out over. So that's obviously there to fill time, hence, you know, slime is of the essence. And then we have the Achievement Bonanza, which they were wanting to put in 100 or so new achievements, but they actually have over 130 new achievements coming to game this month. So those are the core updates. The Achievement Bonanza, the Needle Skips, Slime is of the Essence, and of course the Mining and Smithing Beta. Now, you know, bringing this back to the Double XP weekend, and the reason we waited and we decided to hold this back for a day from our usual Thursday recording is because we wanted to figure out what is the rhyme or reason of this Double XP weekend. Because there were a lot of people in the community are saying, we're getting no updates, and we're gonna just keep the community situated by giving them another double XP weekend, and you know, we want to provide an honest look as to what's happening here in regards to the game updates, and we just couldn't do that with that side of the community hanging over us here, so that's why we decided to wait. And I think I can say, looking at it from the corporate software development side of view here on this, you are effectively seeing the Double XP weekend used as a feeder into the second half of the Mining and Smithing Beta. And, you know, that's true, because what you want to do in cases like this, and I hope I'm right on this. If I'm not, it's an interesting thing that is just a silly coincidence. But with the Mining and Smithing Beta going live on Tuesday the 13th, and then it running for 2 weeks, you basically have, you know, 4 or 5 days worth of a time where the existing player base, people who are playing RS, you know, day-to-day like we are, can go in, check out the beta, figure out what's going on with it, and then based on that, you know, form opinions and whatnot, and basically report bugs and highlight whether or not things are working correctly and the like. And I'll just say on this note two things regarding this Mining and Smithing beta. After it comes out, we are going to be doing a live stream on the matter, and I think basically what we don't want to do is we want to go through a standard play session of the Mining and Smithing beta, talk about any of the bugs that we found, and illustrate how we're reporting these bugs. Because what we want to be able to do with this is we want to be able to have a have a template for you guys out there who are watching the show and listening to the show to realize that, okay, this is a beta. This is how the beta was carried out. Is there any other changes that could have been made to the beta? And how can you utilize this beta the best for yourself and to improve the general content for it in the feedback that you give back to the developers? And that's what we're going to be doing a live stream for. So watch the date as we get closer to the mining and smithing beta on that. And we also have our monthly bit that we put out a couple of days back, the first monthly bit we're releasing publicly, called Building a Better Beta, where the three of us here, you, yourself, Tanis, myself, and Sirion, got together and we had a chat about betas in RuneScape, the EOC beta, and what was learned from that, and basically how betas can be shifted and whatnot, and the best way that you as a player can build expectations and use those expectations to form them in a beta test and provide relevant feedback to that. So you can find the link to that at our website at update.rsbnb.com. So be sure to check that out before the beta goes live, just to get a little bit of a hint as to how you might want to carry yourself out once that beta arrives. And, you know, I think what's happening here with going back to Double XP Weekend, I realize we're jumping back and forth a bit on this, is that the Double XP Weekend is used to bring people back in who might be on a month or 2 month long break from the game. And with the mining and smithing beta going on at the same time, there's a chance that they might say, oh, here's the mining and smithing beta. This is what smithing is going to look like after this update hits. And, oh, I'm here for Double XP Weekend. I might as well check out the beta. I like what I see here in the beta in mining. Oh, I also like what I see here in the beta in smithing. I'm going to stick around until the beta drops first week of January. That's my rationale for the Double XP Weekend where it is.
Hmm. Well, I hope you're right. I wouldn't want it to be the way that, you know, I feared, because I've been, yeah, let's just say, you said it was hanging over our heads. I came in with the hangover then, because, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where you don't know what to think. That makes sense in the way that you describe it, but I don't know. The Minifoss one made a lot more sense to me. I don't feel like Double XP has the same kind of tie and with a beta. That would make more sense with like the launching of it. And we've seen that before with Double XP Weekends, is they will precede like the launch of something big, you know.
But the issue with that is you can't do a Double XP Weekend before the launch of that, because this is launching in January. The first week back in January, and presumably we'll have the regular Double XP Weekend in February.
Exactly.
And the reason we're not launching this in January, or Jagex is not launching this in January, is because the entire studio goes away for a week, week and a half after Christmas, and you don't want to launch something on the 20th and be having to deal with bugs for the next week.
Well, right. So, I mean, the Double XP Weekend is usually around the middle of February. Should have just done them. I mean, it seems like they could have put out the mining smithing like the week after that, because I don't know. I guess we would expect it in January, but like you said, it would be coming out the very end of January anyway. So it's already going to feel like, like it did when Invention came out. You know, because I think that was a January release.
Yeah, that was except that was end of January too, January 2016. So. And, you know, I honestly think, what is the best way to bring people back to the game other than a Double XP Weekend? And, you know, I have metrics for this. I have seen this time and time again. I have seen the friends chat balloon up. I have seen our Discord chat balloon up. I have seen my own friends list in-game balloon up on Double XP Weekends. People who have not played for a long time come back for Double XP Weekends.
Well, I mean, I don't even feel recovered from the last one.
Oh no, definitely not. Definitely not. I still have a stack of potions in my bank that are constantly losing value.
I don't know. I think, and then, you know what? To be very fair, I think it's hard to overlook that. It just personally, it didn't fit. It doesn't fit. It's like a bad time. You're not ready for it. You didn't want it, and then now it's here. And maybe that brings us into another like feeling. See, this is here's another question, right? They're already talking about the Dailyscape angle of things, and you feel like you have to. You can't miss out, right? That whole fear of missing out bullshit. Well, what do veteran players like us think when a double XP is coming? You can't miss that shit.
No, there goes the pocketbook. Am I doing anything that weekend? In-game pocketbook, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I was supposed to go, like, I mean, I probably still will, but I was going deer hunting for, like, one of the first times with my brother, because we got this, like, accessible type of scope you can hook a cell phone to. It's some cool shit. Anyway, I had plans, right? That's our opening weekend, I think. And, now double XP, I'm going, well, shit, here we go. Great. I'm possibly going to miss out on this. And I didn't even feel like having it to begin with.
Well, then nothing lost then, if you didn't feel like having it.
But that's what I'm saying, though. The same way as you don't want to miss a daily challenge or something, you don't want to miss a double XP weekend. I mean, that's the most, to me, that's like always been the most special thing in the whole game ever.
Yeah, and you know, I initially felt like that, but you know, there's a time where I just really did whatever on them, and it wasn't until I want to say it was the September one it was probably either February or it was one of the ones in 2017, probably either the February one or the September one where I started doing things once with them. It's got to be the September one, I think. But you know, maybe what everyone just needs to do is they just need to take a break from double XP weekends if they feel like it's too much of an issue to miss them.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I mean, I'm fine with this. I mean, I did some quick financial calculations yesterday in regards to potions and whatnot, and you know that there is a good potion method out there where I can, you know, I don't know if this is insanity or not, making 47,000 potions on a weekend.
It can be done.
Yeah, I think we're. I think it's about 1,500 an hour, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Maybe more if you really get into it. Do you use a yak?
A yak? No. Hmm.
That makes it a little bit faster.
Okay. Well, in any case, I mean, it was something that I started planning towards now that we saw it. And, you know, I'm really not one for jumping down the whole rabbit hole of, you know, whether or not there's some ulterior sinister motive to this to, you know, just try and keep players hanging around because there's no updates. I think this is to lead into the mining and smithing beta. I think that is what it is.
The beta comes out before it, though, right?
Yes. But basically, you're going to be bringing the people back regardless of whether or not the beta started before or after. And if the beta is running while double XP is running, you know, we want to take a break from runecrafting, just hop on over to the beta server.
And if who on God's green earth is runecrafting on double XP weekend?
I did that.
What?
I did Solverins on double XP weekend and got 99 runecrafting last year.
Okay, at the new soul altar?
Yeah.
That's not as crazy as it sounds, then. Okay. All right. I'm like, who is just sitting in the rune span on double XP weekend? No. Oh.
And I got I got Rue.
Oh, that okay. That makes it worth it right there.
So, you know, I think it's going to be fine. And I think this is one of the classic cases where the community is having a bit of a knee-jerk reaction on it. So there's just been lots over the last few months that haven't really felt like updates, you know? Because, I mean, if you go back and – like if you just think of big headlining updates, what was the last big headlining update? PlayerOwned Farm, right?
Yeah.
And before that, ED2.
Yeah.
And before that, the divination thing. And before that, ED1. So – you know, people think in terms of headlining updates because the game has always been built on the week-to-week update model. And, you know, as much as we hate to say it, the way RS3 is and the way the production values of the game necessitate it be, they're moving away from that. And, you know, which is really odd because they pulled players and the players said expansions.
I was going to say, they could have done that a year ago, but it wasn't the community that had the knee-jerk reaction. It was Jagex, because honestly, you're creeping towards expansions anyway, right? I don't think that expansions is what failed. It was Menophos. Like, how hard was that to figure out? And you know what? I was thinking about this just the other day. Actually, when we were having a discussion about building a better beta, we're talking about the evolution of combat and that beta. That made me think about why we're at right now in the man. I had a really good point. I had a really good point, and it just.
I can basically see your progression right there. We had EOC, the EOC beta. The EOC beta, you know, I think we decided 6 years on the changes to combat were needed, and EOC, after it got fleshed out with Legacy Mode and Revolution and later Revolution Plus, is actually a good update combat-wise. But we didn't get there because we didn't have the proper feedback and the proper beta uptake at the time. And because of that, you had a bifurcation of the community where you had people who either loved it or you had people who hated it. And the people who hated it wanted Legacy Mode, and they got Legacy Mode. But some of those ultimately went to Old School. And we saw Old School created in 2013 because of that. And this was the whole huge poll that they did regarding that. And that led to Old School, of course, doing more polled updates. And just work with me here for a moment, because I'm taking you through the progression of what I think your thought was. Mm-hmm. Old School started polling their updates and taking suggestions from the community. Jagex then brings in something called Rune Labs and starts polling the updates from Rune Labs, i.e. direct updates submitted by the community. And that's where we got, you know, beautiful ideas such as the waterfall and the skill cape graphical rework and whatnot. And, you know,
the aquarium.
Oh God, the aquarium, right? That one. Ooh, forgot about that one. And it was decided then that Rune Labs for actual update ideas wasn't the best way to go, you know, having the whole area for players to submit those updates. So that's fine. But instead we go to just general things that the player base is talking about, you know, like, for example, should we do invention or should we do prif? Invention versus prif. We're going to put that out to a poll. And I'm probably getting the years mixed up because I think the invention versus prif poll came out first before Rune Labs. But it's the same general thing. Things players are talking about or things Jagex wants to do, put them to a poll. You decide which way the game is going to go based on that. And then, fast forward to 2017, you have the release of Menophos, which was, believe it or not, once again voted in at the end of 2016 by a poll.
Yep.
And, you know, they decided that they were going to go to this expansions model, one update for a 3-month time period, the idea being you would have 3 months to fully explore the update and whatnot, but we know that didn't happen. People had decided they were finished with Menophos within a few days after, you know, just realizing what was there and, you know, not even completing all the quests, not even completing the full reputation, not even getting 120 Slayer. People decided they were done with it. And we had all the steep reputation climbs with that. And there was lots of talk in last summer from the community on that. And that is what caused them to reverse direction on expansions. And yeah. We're going back to expansions, Unfinished Business, the Clue Scroll update, Deep Sea Fishing. And for a time there, these things were being knocked off the list, you know? Bing, 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 down the list, away you go, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then we get to the time Unfinished Business is done and we're heading back into creating new content, the Elite Dungeons. One was delayed, the player-owned farm, which came out very well, I think. I know people are still interacting with that on a day-to-day basis. And so at the same time, the Unfinished Business part of the game scheme finishes, and then lo and behold, move on to new pieces of content being created. We have mobile, which is taking up some UI developers and part of the engine team, and of course the whole mobile team on that. We also have, as we learned at RuneFest, the team that's working on a large project, and that project, they're not saying what it is at the time, but so there's two development teams accounted for right there. And anything major that needs to be done that requires engine work can't progress because we're still waiting for mobile to be released on top of that. So what we're seeing here is that you have three development teams inside Jagex of what are, you know, seven, maybe eight development teams if you were being kind and you include the promotions team with that, who are... So basically three of seven are being taken up by these huge updates that we know are coming, but it cannot progress fast enough for people's own benefit. And that's why we're seeing this dry spell right now.
Right. And these updates that we're waiting for were also all aspects that we thought would be included in different expansions throughout that year. I mean, when you think about it, and I think something that I'm what's bothering me is, like, if Menophos had came at a different time, if Menophos had came, I don't know, let's say EOC didn't happen, Menophos happened, when those levels had been relevant, then now all of a sudden that's a good update. It's not a bad update, you know. Yeah. If EOC had happened when people were ready for it, all of a sudden that's a great update. And so it's not the arbitrary, like, for, I don't know why we think we have to have the updates all the time. But
and it's a matter of, it's not a matter of perspective too. It's not our fault. It's not Jagex's fault either. Like, the pieces of content coming out are great. They're top quality. And it's a marketing issue more so than anything else, I think, because we're talking about the Needle Skips this month. And the Needle Skips is a fully voiced quest based on an elder artifact, the Needle. Yeah. And you're not going to be jumping up and down about that. I am. Clan Quest is. You're not.
I'm not jumping up and down about the achievement add-on stuff. I'm not either. The quest, though, think about it. I mean, for me, this is the most excited I could ever be for a quest.
Oh, because it's voiced. Right.
Yes, because and it's not like I would be excited if it was in the main storyline or whatever. Even if I had, you know, even if it wasn't voiced, it would still be better if it was like Dragonkin or, you know, whatever. But this is an elder artifact, so that's cool.
It's a pretty big deal.
The mere fact though that it is voiced,
that says something too.
That's a big deal
because they're expensive.
I do like that
they're expensive to make voiced quests.
You know, and that's a matter that goes into the perception of not getting enough either, because they are expensive, but like we know because we talk about the financials sometimes that Jagex has been doing quite well financially. So, I mean, for those of us who realize that and stuff, I'm thinking to myself, because I'm guilty of being right there with the community this week. I wasn't having this either. And I think, you know, it feels like, well, they're doing very well. Why are we not getting content?
Yeah. And to be fair, the only reason I'm not is because I put on my hat of what I would be thinking if I was trying to hype up the mining and smithing beta, and this is one of the things you can do. But with that being said, you know, it becomes an issue. and this was being discussed in the RS Discord, that if you're not into the needle skips, you're not into achievements, you have no update this month. And, you know, we had ED1 and ED2, and those were fairly high-level combat updates. And I don't need to tell people that farming is a niche skill in-game.
Yeah.
So
very much.
So there you go. You have basically every update since June, or if not May, being targeted at niche groups.
Well, yeah, even before then, look. I mean, even though we like them, but yeah, deep-sea fishing, maybe...
But deep sea fishing had something for everyone from 60 to 99.
I mean, well, in the fishing skill, yeah. Yeah.
But who doesn't like fishing? It's a primary skill.
Oh, no, I love it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it was that and the farm are the best updates of the year. But I'm just saying, like, in the same way that questers would, you know, are getting a great update this month. But if you're not into quest, you're not, you know, I just think it's. It's just kind of the same thing, you know? Like, whether you're into it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think what we're getting to here is that the point is that we're at a point where I think Jagex wants to do these larger updates because RuneScape 3 is supposed to be the flagship, right?
How long you want this damn podcast to be today, Shay? I mean, I'm barely holding it together.
Perhaps that was the wrong word to use.
I'm like limping. I'm limping into the podcast this week, and then just a dagger. Just a dagger. Just had to cut this right in the heart.
I mean, we could talk about that too if you want.
We should, because sometime we're going to have to.
Because I'm going to run out of fingers on my one hand, the number of people who have started to log back into old school this week because of OS Mobile.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of my friends that are playing the mobile, and they like it. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, they're really happy with it. Like, it's really good. And then I think about the feedback I have heard from you and Siri on Street Mobile, and I'm just like, what the f***, man? I can't. Why? Is this happening?
It's a different engine. It's a different engine. That's why RS3 is being temperamental.
No, man. Old school has taken our lunch money, kicked us in the nuts, and daring them to do something about it.
Well, you know what situation we're potentially headed to, right?
No, what?
The Revolutionary War. We're paying for that. We're paying for that game.
Yeah, well, are we? Or are they paying for us at this point?
Old school is free to play, right? You can be free to play.
No.
What?
It has a free to play, just like RS3 has a free to play, but you have to have a membership to have the member stuff. Like, it works the same way.
Holy crap.
Yeah, Shane. It's the opposite way around, man. Why do you think all the bots are at old school? It ain't because they don't have the detection. It's because they follow the money. Old school money is worth more. They're taking our lunch money. Like, it's,
well, we have a number of worlds here with 1830, 1657, and I'm just reading members' worlds, 1100, 1080, 5, 6, 1070. Numerous old school members' worlds that are at least half full. And numerous more with more than 500 people in them. And these are members, and of course they're paying.
Yeah. You saw what I showed you this week, right? When that shit dropped.
Remind me.
It beat out Fortnite for a day.
Yeah, actually, that was actually the case here in Canada too, on the App Store. And let me just have a look-see here.
That's
new games we love, number one. It's not top three anymore today. It's number five here.
That's a hell of a run, though. I mean, the mere fact that it showed up like that blows my mind.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, man. Because it's what you talked about when you came back from RuneFest, man. That's like, I don't know. At some point, maybe this is a monthly bid or something, but we're going to have a come to Jesus talk about this.
Well, there's a reason we didn't tell anyone about this until after, you know?
Yeah.
It's because we didn't know what to say on it.
Yeah,
I think we illustrated that on the show.
No way. I still don't know what to make of all of it.
We were in contact with, you know, a dozen people after that happened. We didn't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, where were we?
We're in this rabbit hole that Jagex has put us in. We don't know how to get out. It's double XP weekend.
I think it just came out of nowhere. I think they want a game that is going to be driven by expansions.
Yeah. Is that what we want this time? I don't know.
But they can't say that because of what happened with Metaphos.
Right, but they're like the Democratic Party, man. They always take the wrong message. Like, they are. They're like, oh, people didn't like that. Oh, it must have been the expansions. No, it was Metaphos, man. No, we just didn't like your candidate.
And see, the thing is, they had to turn it around. But people did have a legitimate concern with unfinished business, though, and because of that, you can't do unfinished business and expansions at the same time.
Well, that's true, but you know, the only business that I really wanted finished was my damn church, and we never got that neither. So, you know,
well, there are other ways to become a god. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But of these updates this month, I think we're going to have a hit with the Needle Skips. I also think we're going to have a hit with the Mining and Smithing beta. And the Achievement Bonanza is definitely going to provide some interesting stuff, too, because we're running that achievement-based skill of the Fortnite competition. So,
tell me that's not happening until December, right?
No, it's going to happen in the middle of the month, whenever that update drops.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
probably from the Friday for 2 weeks after.
All right. Well, I got my hands full. So,
more on that later, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm imploring the Conor McGregor strategy.
Okay. We'll talk, of course, about Mining and Smithing when that arrives. Needle Skips, 400th quest point, fully voiced Needle Elder artifact. Slime is of the essence in the Achievement Bonanza. That's the month ahead. And I'm going to just wrap all this up by saying that I think the double XP weekend is to bring people in for the Mining and Smithing beta.
And I'm going to say that I hope you're right.
And
like sincerely.
Yeah. 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 I hope I'm right too. I hope I'm right too. Because the way I see it, like when you look at the Needle Skips, when you look at the Achievement Bonanza and you look at Mining and Smithing, at least it's not a full release. It's temporary for 2 weeks, but still these are three big updates coming into game. So, that's why I'm comfortable saying that, and if anyone disagrees with that, please do send in a discussion question next week. So, Minefield, old school mobile beta. I'm running out of fingers on my. I have one more finger left on my hand of people I can mention who have picked up an old school account this week because of that, or resumed one due to mobile.
Well, I mean, you can use your account. I mean, you know, you don't have to, like, buy one if you have one.
I know. But you're starting fresh.
Yeah. But, you know, it's actually – but the feature – they have some cool stuff on there now, man. I don't know. Like, if they ever get all of the quality of life stuff that we have and I could see it, I'd give it a shot.
We're still not sure what unannounced MMO is.
But they didn't say a word about it, though, Shane, did they?
No.
So, I don't know.
102,000 people on Old School at the moment.
Yeah, man. And that's been going on like all week.
There's about 29,000 on RS3.
Yeah.
This is Friday night.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that's that minefield. I don't know if there's anything else left to say on month ahead or double XP weekend. We can move on to the patch notes if you're good in Golden for our next minefield.
Yeah.
Our next mine. Next anti PVM mine, let's say. All right, let's just get going. Accounted for a specific odd state in the invention tutorial that could potentially cause a loop of impossible requests.
Okay.
That's certainly something, given that it's in a skill tutorial. Next up, players can purchase compressed anima for 45,000 shattered anima from the Shattered Worlds reward shop, and these can be used to recharge sigils, acting as the equivalent of 45,000 shattered anima, and can also be traded to other players and on the Grand Exchange. So another way to make money with Shattered Worlds, or a way to make money with Shattered Worlds.
That might make it a little bit more relevant, right? I guess it depends on how much they go for. I don't know.
Not really when you can, you know, just go farm Telos, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's one for the farm. You can no longer dismiss the contract buyers.
Hmm.
So you're stuck with them for the day until they leave or decide to leave or you fulfill that contract. I don't know. And, you know, I can see why they did this, because dismissing them did nothing, because you didn't get a new one until the next day. And it was still governed by the animals you had. So if you didn't change your animals, you would likely get the same one. So makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't see anything weird.
Adjusted the trait reroller code so that only one is deleted if a reroll was successfully performed.
I never got it. I'm never really perfected the whole trait thing.
I'm not really concerned about that at the moment. I have a dragon running around with frost breath and one with poison breath, and they're just going to sit there until it's time to start looking at traits. I'm currently still going for the titles.
Okay.
I'm at 140 out of 250K beans.
Woo!
So it's going
getting
up.
There.
Yeah, it's going up.
Yeah, getting there.
The Tree and Master Farmer outfits now correctly reduce the number of monkey nuts required to pay for spirit tree protection when using the right-click pay option.
Well, the fewer monkey nuts, the better, right?
Yep, and that's good for double XP weekend as well. Got to get those trees going. You can no longer place living things in the treasure chest reward from Carnelian Rising. And player-owned farm animals added to the party room chest will be reclaimed direct to the player's inventory rather than spawn on the ground.
That's weird.
So the sense I'm guessing here is that you would have potentially farm animals running around the party room.
That's a party room.
Royal dragon, maybe a chinchampa, some zygomites, and a jackalope rabbit to tip it all off.
Now it's a party.
When you visit your ports and it shows your side panel, it will now display an ETA for when your ships will return. It's better than having to calculate it, I guess.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
It's now possible to empty rune pouches while the bank interface is open. Okay, now here's the mine. Rune pouches can now be dyed red, blue, yellow, green, purple, orange, pink, and black. So, these are the pouches that you could get from Bounty Hunter and the associated, I believe it's the Thaler store today. I might be wrong on that, the exact location you can get them from. But what this allowed was basically a PVMer to stuff every rune that they could potentially need for a spell into a small rune pouch, and then you basically just go PVMing with, you know, two or three rune pouches rather than taking up nine inventory slots of runes. And the idea behind this, as confirmed by Mod Shawnee the day it was released, is that, yes, this is the intended design. It's going to be staying that way. Then a while later, we got Mod Harrison coming in, and he said after some recent discussion, we'll be reverting the rune pouch change, which is currently allowing you to stuff every single rune into pouches, so it will go back to the original functionality. And because of that, the community lost their lunch on this.
I imagine they did.
Yeah, they did. Because, oh, this has been out for a day. We can't go back to how it were. Now, as a result of that, the next day, Mod Harrison comes back. We will not be making the change of reverting the ability to use the full large rune pouches since Monday's update. And these rune pouches were selling for 15 mil each or more on the GE.
Mm. Wow.
They're going to be adding a requirement of 66 magic to be able to use these. And, you know, David talked about this in his Informer article regarding the Combat Council talk. Magic is clearly the dominant position when it comes to high-end DPS in the game. And quite frankly, just this just furthers it because, you know, if you're wanting to bring multiple different kinds of bolts for ranged, you gotta do bolt swaps.
So we can sell rune pouches now?
Yeah, if you buy them with the points from the Bounty Hunter store, you can dye them and sell them on the GE. Yeah.
Oh, the Bounty Hunter store.
Yeah, the Bounty Hunter store, because that's where it came from initially.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Yeah. So you do need some of those points to be able to take advantage of that. But, you know, I just scratch my head at this. Because, you know, the way it was initially designed is that you're just going to be able to color your rune pouch. That's all there was to it. But this had the side effect of creating distinct items that could be used to store runes. Obviously, you know, obviously in the design of this, they wanted it to just be cosmetic. But in doing so, they ended up creating items and whatnot. And from the way the design was, it sounded like that no one actually thought to think that this wasn't intended on this. And that you could have more than one. But for some reason, this was signed off on. It made it through QA. And as a result of that, we end up having multiple rune pouches in game. And, you know, I honestly think this was just a communication error. I'm not going to say anyone was utterly incompetent because of this, but I think it was just a communication error. You know, we want rune pouches in game that you can dye a specific color, right? And
sure. And I don't even know why that would be.
I have no idea.
That's not something someone else can see.
I have no idea on that, but, you know, this actually goes back to what we were talking about with the community, because this is exactly the same thing that happened after EOC. Put this out. Yeah. We want to revert it. You guys scream and cry and moan loud enough. Oh, we're going to keep it as is. Oh, we're going to bring back old school RuneScape. Oh, we're going to bring back Legacy Combat. Oh, we're going to abandon expansions. No, I did say expansions needed to be abandoned to do the unfinished business side of things.
Yeah. I don't even know if I realized.
No, I had no idea this was a thing, too, until David started jumping up and down on Discord calling this the PVM update of the year. But,
you know, it's funny. I wish I was good enough in combat to even know or recognize what this is, but honestly, I can't. Like, I don't even understand why this is so good. Like, I don't know combat good enough to know why that's so great.
Let me quote directly from him what he told me after the update. And it comes down to the fact that when you're doing high-level PVM, you are going to probably want multiple you're going to want, you know, spellbook swaps and whatnot, right? So, for example, the way it goes is the following here. So, you have a normal rune pouch, an ancient pouch, and a skilling rune pouch, for example, and you don't need to constantly, you know, change which runes you're carrying around inside your inventory and the like. And, you know, in addition to this, you bring runes for example, let me just tell you one of the sets that he brings. He brings a rune set for spellbook swap, one to cast vulnerability, one to cast disruption shield. And what this ultimately means is that he needs to bring fire, water, dust, blood, cosmic, astral, chaos, and soul runes. And you could potentially use steam instead of fire and water, but that's extra money that he doesn't want to pay. And when you add that up, that's 9 inventory slots that he would be using. Now, with this rune pouch update, you just bring your 3 large rune pouches. You store 2 in your inventory and 1 in your pocket and call it a day. That's why it's so huge, is that you're saving 7 inventory slots.
But people, people at PVM like that, like with that many,
yeah, with that many runes, yeah.
Wow. Wouldn't the Wicked Pouch do all of that?
I think the Wicked Pouch is has a different functionality to it, and you can only have 1 to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the difference is between the two, but so. Wicked Pouch can be equipped in the ammunition slot. It can be used to cast any spell without runes.
Right.
And the runic energy worth of the runes would have been used or removed from the pouch. So it doesn't use actual runes. It's just, you know, you charge up the pouch and then it casts based on that. So it is a bit different. So the Wicked Pouch is not exactly the same on that. But, you know, This is exactly the same thing that we talked about with all the updates leading up to this. And I hate to say this, but we're potentially in this position because they don't like it when the community makes so much noise about an update not being sufficient in the case of rune pouches that it needs to be reverted.
Yeah.
And that,
well, just like, look at what this is almost the same as like the 4-tick auto attack. Oh, that's a bug. That's definitely a bug. Yep. Oh, y'all should be using
now
it,
we're
but now
look at
we'll
adding
just
it to weapon diversity.
Yeah. Now we're gonna make it a feature.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, they're gonna need to do something for making swaps easier for melee types now with this, and they're also going to need to do something with making swaps easier for the rangers too. Though, I don't know what the answer to that is.
You know, I think it's there's I don't know what the answer is. I mean, first you had a triangle that was heavily weighted towards melee. Now you have one that's heavily weighted towards magic. I don't know why we can't seem to balance those 3.
Well,
but
to be fair, it is balanced in regular PVM, like in low-level PVM Slayer. But when you get to high-level professional PVM, it is heavily tilted towards magic.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and it must be because it's never been like my go-to, but I've never done anything, you know, that it would have to be, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is going to be staying in game. We'll have to see if they bring any changes in for it on Monday, but nonetheless, a huge insight into the way the community works. And, you know, I think this sets a dangerous precedent because, you know, if a community makes enough noise and it's not truly game breaking, because I don't think this breaks the game, it just makes it a lot easier. That kind of update can happen.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that ship sailed a lot. A long time ago.
Anyways, moving on to other fixes here. Certain interfaces on mobile were not correctly restoring the game state when closed from full screen, and this required an app restart to restore. And they fixed a number of interfaces on this, and I'll just give you a quick run through of some of these interfaces. They were definitely very, very expansive on this, and they included clan broadcast, clan settings, tool belt, statue bag, aura management keyring, seat aside config, select left click for familiars, herb burner, bone crusher, and quick prayer setup.
Okay.
So you would need an app restart to restore them. And you see, these are the kind of things that they're working through with the beta on Android for RS3 right now. So they also increased the font size and some of the other elements in the minigame side interface for the Guthixie and Cache D&D to improve usability on mobile, and increased the font size for scan clue scrolls in order to improve readability on mobile as well.
Okay.
So, indeed. But that's the patch notes for the week. And, you know, the other part of the update was Pestilence arriving, the final Apocalypse Rider for the Halloween event, as it were. So, you know, complete that. I already have my max stabilization, so I don't need to go back. But, yeah, that's pretty much it for patch notes this week. So,
all right.
Anything else? I think we're good to move on, eh?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, that ship set sail. All right. All righty. So before we move on to our listener question, I'm going to take a moment to just tell everybody about our Patreon page, which you can find at patreon.com/rsbnb. And, you know, for the new month, we're doing a bit of a retool with this. We had included video shows and live streams on this, and I enjoyed doing the video shows. And, you know, they're good to do, but at the same time, podcasting is inherently a format that warrants audio, and that's what has always been our go-to on this. And, you know, the video shows are great, and we're still going to do them from time to time. We're still going to do the live streams from time to time, even as we said with the mining and smithing beta, for example, on that. And what we wanted to do, and why we're kind of changing this up, is that we want the freedom to decide this week's a video show week because we need it. This week is a live stream week because we need this. Oh, we need to actually do a specific live stream on the content of this because the content warrants it, or it's a double XP weekend, so the like. So what we're doing is that we're actually bringing a bit more freedom into this. And instead, what we've done is we've changed these around. So at the $30 per month tier, which we're at right now, we'll have something called Inside RSBNB Update, which will be a monthly feature. You gain an inside look at the podcast, including interviews with the hosts and production team, and some insight into how the podcast comes together, and maybe a sneak peek at where the hosts record the podcast, you know, podcast area tours month to month, varying on that. So that's what we're going to start with in November. And also, you know, we want it to be completely transparent with this, so we did put our third tier, rather, in at $50 a month, which is helping RSBNB pay the server fees that we have each and every month. As we, you know, we host the website, we host the high scores, we basically run a full-on fan site in addition to the podcast with that, and that server rental and yearly web address fees and whatnot. So you can help us when we reach that tier on that rung as well. And then this final one is something you suggested, Tanis, which is movie nights. So what's your idea with that one?
I thought it'd be fun if, like, we sat around and watched a movie. Maybe let Shane pick out a Star Trek movie. It can help us commentate through, and or, you know, I mean, we could do anything, but yeah, I thought that'd be fun. You know, maybe pull Reed in and do some Mystery Science Theater type of stuff. You know, you never know, but I thought the Star Trek stuff would be really cool, just because I've never seen one of the movies, and if I was to sit down and watch one, kind of want to see it with Shane.
Like, that's, you true know what I mean? That's true.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
And, you know, we have everything set up so that everything else is still the same regards in for Tier. So if you sign up for $1 a month, you get early access to the show notes and your name mentioned in the show notes each and every week. For $3 a month, you get the special rank on Discord and access to the high-quality stereo AAC versions of the podcast. And for $5 a month, you get access to our clips that we use every week for the show, for the clip show, should they appear, and exclusive shout outs every week on the podcast. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to give thanks to our wonderful Patreon supporters this week. And this week, since it's the start of the month, we have Adam T, Cody T, Kyle, Brock H, and Alvaro L. So thank you everyone for subscribing to RSBNB and helping RSBNB update be what it is today. Thank you very much, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Help us stay independent, right, Shane?
That's right. That's right. So all that and more at patreon.com/RSBNB. All righty. So we have a question this week from Tycho. I'm gonna give this a read, and I'm going to try and channel his Swedish spirit, his Nordic spirit, the best that I can with this. So, dear RSBNB, after finally settling down after a very eventful RuneFest for Clan Quest, things are slowly returning to normal. Sirion is telling puns, Derp is questing across RuneScape, and I have migrated south as the snow has claimed the north to central parts of the Nordic lands. And, if I'm going to speak from my heart, I have a big regret in my life. Even though we took a picture of me hugging you goodbye with you having the facial expression of having your spine snapped in half, that's an unacceptable picture to wake up to every day. Putting my regrets from old days aside, if we were to dream that Jagex would announce RuneFest 2019 in the USA, what would be the perfect city to host it in? Let's say all JMods will attend. Microtransaction has paid for every cost involved, and the community loves it more than anything. The way that sentence is worded, Tycho, means that the community loves microtransactions more than everything. I don't think we'll ever be there.
No.
All right, let's say that you must cosplay. No, Shane, you're not allowed to go as yourself. Not you, Tanis, either. What RuneScape character would you be? No, Shane1288 does not count. And as a final weird question to round it off, if you were to take someone out on a date, what would you serve them for dinner? Let's say you got Gordon Ramsay at your disposal. I really wish I could have hugged you harder, Teddy, from your ever-loving Tycho elf.
Is he going to be like an author at some point? Like, just like a Jack London up there in the frozen lands, just writing away.
Yeah. Okay, perfect city. Let's go. Atlanta, Chicago, Las Vegas. Atlanta and Chicago, because they're big airport cities and you can get to them from practically anywhere, both in the U.S. and internationally. Las Vegas, West Coast, cheap to fly to.
You know, I think you're close, but you're forgetting Indianapolis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, we're centrally located. We have a huge convention center. It's a beautiful city and, you know, fairly low crime as for large cities go. You know, Indianapolis Colts, we got that.
Yeah, not compared to
fine
Chicago,
dining.
Right?
Yeah, no, not compared to Chicago. You definitely probably feel safer in Indy. So, I don't know. I have to advocate for my city, right?
Yeah, but is it easy to get to?
Yeah, man, that's like right in the middle of the country.
I know, but do you have international flights that come in?
Yeah, Indianapolis International Airport.
Okay. From Europe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I was not aware that it was a very large hub.
I think so. I mean, it's international. Okay. It's got custom. We flew in from Mexico.
All right. But yeah, the reason that I put my two on the list there is because those are just very large hub airports. And, you know, Chicago is probably not a safe city. Atlanta, you know, maybe a bit safer.
Still. Ain't any better in Chicago.
And then Las Vegas, because I think lots of conventions go there and it's cheap to fly into.
Vegas would be unreal.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't
unreal.
It?
Oh my God, RuneFest in Vegas. Do you hear the choir of angels just that would be the one way we could get it in America too, is to sell J-Mods. Hey, you want to go to Vegas?
Well, I think the night before party would take on a whole new meaning.
Oh, it'd be awesome. Yeah.
And
you know what they got in Nevada, don't you, Shane?
What's that?
Legalized prostitution. Yeah, it's true. It's a fact.
Really?
Yeah, it's there.
Huh. Yeah.
You ever heard of the Bunny Ranch?
No, no. Yeah. And I think on that we should move on to the next part of the question.
I love doing that to Shane.
Ay-yi-yi. All right. What are you dressing up as?
Oh, man. I would try to dress up in whatever in-game outfit I was wearing at the time. Like, I would try to do for real RL Fashionscape. So, for instance, if it was right now, I'm wearing a sous chef outfit with my enhanced fire cape, like I caught it on fire in the kitchen, with a rolling pin override in my in my main hand, and little Ramsey with me.
All right. If I had to choose a character, well, he said you're not allowed to be yourself.
Oh, he meant that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that's what he meant. Okay. Well, damn. Go, Shane. Let me think about it for a second.
Do you know who mine would be?
Yes. The captain in that quest, right?
Yeah, August Day. You're right.
I knew it. Yes. Of course.
Now we just need to find number one and we're good to go.
Who could I be? I don't know. The wise old man.
Yeah, that's a good one. The party hats and whatnot.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Plus, I always like to be like, you know, the Frank the Tank at the party. Like, back in my day. That's how we used to party. Come here, boy.
I don't know if I saw any wise old men at RuneFest that were dressed up, now that I think about it.
Oh. Well, it's an opportunity then.
Yeah, you might be able to make that. But you would need to, you know, go all out with the hair and whatnot too, if you were to enter the competition.
That's the easiest part, right?
Okay. Yeah, I guess you just get a good wig, hey? Staff, yeah. You could probably get 3D printed the robes you would have to sew.
Yeah, I start with the beard now for No Shave November.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Unfortunately, there's already a little too much white in it anyway. So, you know. We keep getting double XP weekends, there'll probably be even more.
And the cooking skill of the month.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right. Yeah. I honestly don't know what to answer for this last question. It totally depends on when, where, and who.
Oh, look at Shane being all sophisticated with his proper meal for the proper occasion. He said we can take anybody and serve him anything. Well, I'm going to take Tycho and serve him that rancid-ass fish he likes to carry around.
You know, if anyone's wondering about this, you can see examples of this in this month's Clan Quest, Questaholic, which is linked on Twitter at Twitter/RSBNB. Figured that'd be a nice plug. And you have an interview in there, too.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw you up there.
I was surprised to get the call. Yeah, that was cool, man. Chodo. Cool dude.
Yeah, definitely. But anyways, dinner. Aside from the surf strumming.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'd have to make something American, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to be American. So, like, I don't know. What's American, man? I mean, we got everything. Like we, I don't know, like a, I'll take you to McDonald's. There we go. It's more American than that.
You know, I have to say there are people who probably have done that.
That wouldn't surprise me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea for this dinner question, so I'll have to get back to you, Tycho, on that.
You got anywhere out there where they serve like game, Shane? Like I want to go eat some elk or some moose or some.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure.
I'm sure you could find that. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know bison is pretty popular.
Ooh, that's good. Have you ever had it?
No.
Oh man. I had a bison ribeye one time. Mm. Tasty.
That's good.
Yeah.
Alrighty. If you guys want to send your own questions in, email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a DM or at mention on Twitter @rsbnb. So, ready for tech news?
Is that a trick question?
All right. Well, we're going to start off with tech news that doesn't really hurt, and that is that Apple has reported its fourth quarter of 2018 earning results. And in general, the company made $14.1 billion profit on $62.9 billion in revenue with 46.9 million iPhones sold in the last quarter. Now, you might also be wondering, okay, 46.9 million iPhones, that's a large number. It's actually up by just a tiny bit, up by 200,000 units from the quarter 1 year ago, the third quarter. And, you know, when you're looking at a graph where you're talking in the scale of millions like that, you know, 46 million, that's effectively flat. iPad sales fell by 600,000 units from comparing the same quarter last year, and Mac sales dipped by 100,000 units also from the same quarter last year as well. And as a result of this, the Apple stock dipped 4% in trading after these results were announced, briefly taking the company away from its $1 trillion market cap benchmark that they hit not too long ago. And also
$14 billion and a quarter.
Yep. $14 billion profit.
And they can't afford to make those here. Why? You know what? They would have sold more than those 200,000 units if all the people that were working there, because they could have bought them.
Yeah. Yeah. 59% of this was made up from iPhones. 16% wow. Services, 12% Macs, 7% iPads, and 7% other. Other includes things like the Watch, the AirPods, the Apple TV, and the like.
Only 7% iPads, huh?
Yeah.
That kind of surprises me.
And, you know, this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the company turn into a services company because, you know, iPhone is a huge majority of what they're selling. The next is services. And when you think of services, Apple services, you have iCloud, iMessage, Apple Care, and whatnot.
I don't want to see that happen, though. Do you?
No, I don't, because it's going to mean that the company with this is transitioning to a services company. And that's really unfortunate for Apple, because Apple has never been about services. And their services are second tier compared to everyone else's. And you just need to look at this. I am using Gmail. I am using Google Photos on my iPhone.
Yeah. Well, and what I'm afraid of is if they go more in that direction, then where's the innovation going to come from? Where's the push? Where's
the edge?
You
hit the nail on the head with that. You hit the nail on the head with that, because they're just coasting. They're just coasting right now. And, you know, the top comment on Mac Rumors, which is one of the big Apple news sites, is this guy posts, and we don't know if this is actually his true scenario or whatnot. He said he had a frank discussion with his wife, and he said they need to get their portfolio out of the Apple stock. He's been an Apple investor for 11 years and had multiple millions worth of Apple stock.
Hmm.
And he wants to get out. And the general sense is, you know, he's a millionaire. He is wealthy. But he says, I liked owning Apple, but I see no plan at Apple's leadership team for the future. Tim Cook's plan for the future seems to be to continue to raise the prices. Unfortunately, Tim does not understand that he's past the threshold of decency at this point for most middle-class people in the US, Canada, and Europe. Since about 2016, I've been feeling that the direction for that Apple has taken with raising prices is destructive to Apple. I know the stock price has been rising, but there's a certain degree of inertia in the behavior of the stock compared to the direction of the leadership that the corporation sets. And this guy says he's using a 2012 Mac Mini, an iPhone 7, an iPad Mini 2, and a 2014 iMac, even though he could very well afford to buy the new iPhone XS, and he's probably due for an upgrade this year or next year from that iPhone 7. He's just keeping it because it's too expensive, even he feels.
Wow. And where's the vision? Where's the eye on the next thing?
Yeah, and you know, I've been saying this for a while too. You have the iPhone XR, you have the iPhone XS, you have the iPhone XS Max, and in each of these you have a number of colors, you have a number of different storage sizes and whatnot, whereas back when the iPhone started, there was one iPhone, and you just chose storage. In my opinion, Apple needs to get back to that. There needs to be one iPhone with specific storage options, and maybe, you know, have a second color option, you know? And that's what made them good. And same thing with the Mac lineup. You have the iMac, the Mac Mini, and the Mac Mini just got an update this week. But you also have an iMac sitting in the Mac lineup that is from 2017. And I laughed when I saw Apple's event this past week, because I got this iMac back in January and I was thinking it would be obsolete, but this is using 2017 hardware, and this machine I got back in January is still the top iMac that Apple sells.
You know, and that, I think that is one of the reasons they are so good. But even more than that, like, I think what makes them Apple is they're the ones that saw a smartphone where none existed.
No, Steve Jobs saw a smartphone where it didn't exist.
But it's got to be more than one man.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Just look at this. The first physical change to the iPhone was last year after 10 years. Wow. Steve Jobs designed the iPhones from that point. And they just got bigger and thinner. But that's not, there's nothing special about that.
Yeah, that's true. It's too bad.
And it gets even more muddy if you look at the notebook line, because you have a MacBook Air, you have a MacBook Pro, and then you have a MacBook and all these products. You know, it's hard to know which one to buy.
Yeah,
and anytime a consumer can't make a decision and it's expensive, they're more likely to just not buy anything. Or buy that $400 Surface we talked about not too long ago.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, exactly. I don't know. And you know, the other thing that, like, I don't think this guy's probably – I mean, he obviously knows what he's talking about, because I don't think right now stock is a very good indicator, given the fact that how much stock you think Apple bought back of its own.
Yeah.
They all did. So –
And they have all this cash sitting too, so it's, you know, what are you going to do with it? And, you know, there's also a question asked by one of the journalists, I forget, I think it was Business Insider, asked the question, any plans to move more production to the U.S.? And, you know, it's just, you look at these people, they're indistinguishable from politicians. Tim Cook, he gives this non-answer, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, it's basically, we already produce things in the U.S. and all the R&D is done in the U.S., so... I don't know. I will just say that I am pleased that the iMac I got was, quote, assembled in the USA. That's what it says on the back.
Hmm. Well.
They do some of it then.
There's something anyway.
Yeah. But can you just imagine how many people would, how it would impact the price if people saw on the back of an iPhone made in the USA?
I mean, it can't get any worse, right?
Right.
They'll see. To me, the only thing is you would have more people that could afford to buy one.
Yep.
You know, that's the Henry Ford motto, right?
Yep.
Like, this isn't anti-capitalist. This is like, this makes sense.
Capitalism 101.
Yeah. Thank you. Classical kind, you know, right?
Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, the stock went down on this because, you know, Wall Street expects growth quarter over quarter. And, you know, we're not seeing that here. So we'll have to see what happens going forward. But next year, 2019, is going to be a huge year for Apple. There's no way of putting that. So it starts now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next piece of tech news. Any plans of playing Call of Duty Black Ops 4?
Not anymore with all this microtransaction bullshit, man. Bullshit. AAA game, full price, and now there's microtransactions.
Yeah. Call of Duty points went live on the PS4 version of the game. They're making their way to the other versions next week, and these are used to buy something called Nebulan Plasmum in the Zombies mode and advance through the cosmetic Black Market tiers. So you can, of course, get through all these by playing, but as with any form of microtransaction, it's going to take a long, long time to do that. And, you know, you're right. People are upset about that. They pay full price for one of these so-called AAA games. I don't even know if Call of Duty is AAA at this point, given how every year it just seems to be a copy and paste job, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard good things about this one, though, and it's not a bad game. Unfortunately, man, the companies just don't seem to get it. You know, they try something like this, and there's some pushback, and then they get their hand caught in the cookie jar, and they say, we're not going to do that, and then 2 months later, they do it again. I mean, we saw the same thing with Battlefront 2, right? I mean, the exact same situation, only we haven't seen them blow back quite that bad yet.
Yeah. So the reviewer here reached tier 7 of the market by just playing with regular play, and to unlock tiers 8 to 200, you would need to buy 193 tiers for 19,300 Call of Duty points, and the cheapest way to do that is to buy a pack of 13,000 points for, you ready for this? £85. Yeah. Or roughly around, you know, 40 American Canadian dollars.
Yeah.
So that'd probably be closer to 50 US, but you get the idea.
Yeah, it's this games as a service model, man. It's just,
and if you wanted to buy it all the way, you would have to buy a 5,000 pack for another £35, an 1,100 pack for £850, and another 200 for £179, coming up to a grand total of £130.
They're going to get bit by this. That is just like Battlefront 2. Like, they've tied progression to it now. That's like the worst thing you can do.
But on the same time, it's cosmetic only.
Then that's what those black market things are? They're only cosmetic?
It's a cosmetic market, yeah.
Well, then that's better, but
yeah, it's cosmetic. Purely cosmetic.
So people are throwing that much of a fit about cosmetic? See, I thought this was progression-based.
No. Yeah, this is, you know. But thankfully, it's all cosmetic, right?
Yeah, that does. I mean, that makes it better. I'm actually surprised they've gotten that much pushback then.
Yeah,
I thought it was progression, so I was wrong completely.
But I mean, at the same time, you're paying for the game, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, you are. You know, they want to, even though that you've paid for it, though, they put in that damn BR mode and they want paid for it. I mean, come on, everybody buy skins in Fortnite. What's the big deal, man?
Yeah, precisely. You know? And I mean, maybe not. People are comparing it to Fortnite Battle Pass, but you don't pay for Fortnite.
Yeah. That's the difference.
So, one of them here is a gun that it's called the Tactical Unicorn. It's an overview for your gun that turns your gun into something that looks like a unicorn with rainbows on it. At tier 105.
Huh. All right. Well. Okay.
So I don't know why people are so concerned about it, because it's just cosmetic. You don't need to – I mean, maybe it's because it's a progression thing and people feel they need to progress through it, right?
I mean, I guess it doesn't – I mean, it doesn't bother me as much being cosmetic.
All right. Well, in that case, I think we can move on. We'll have to see what the stink is when it reaches PC and Xbox this coming week.
Yeah. But at least it's coming.
Yeah.
Unlike other games.
Okay. You ready for this next piece of tech news?
No. No.
Private messages from 81,000 hacked Facebook accounts are for sale.
Hmm.
Facebook is not taking any blame in this because what it was some other malicious browser extension that read into your Facebook tab and copied your messages in as you were sending them in through Facebook Messenger. But Facebook says it has added steps to ensure that the accounts affected are notified and that users' details who have been compromised will be made aware. And the bulk majority of this happened in Ukraine and Russia, but there are also some cases from within the UK, the US, Brazil, and other countries throughout the world.
No. There was problems with Facebook in Ukraine and Russia?
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it. Hmm. You mean there was bad actors in Ukraine and Russia on Facebook?
Yeah.
Huh. But Facebook ain't responsible.
The hackers offered to also sell the access to the accounts for 10 cents or 8 pence per account, and their ad has been since taken offline. Facebook executive Guy Rosen has also said, "We have contacted browser makers to ensure them or to ensure that known malicious extensions are no longer available to download in their stores." They're also working with law enforcement on this. And this first breach came to light in September, when a post from a user nicknamed FB Sailor appeared on an English language internet forum, and it said, "We sell personal information of Facebook users. Our database includes 120 million accounts."
You know that half of that, though, is just dick pics, broths of sent to.
They say some examples included photographs of a recent holiday. Another was a chat about the recent Depeche Mode concert. And the third included complaints about a son-in-law. These are the ones that the BBC saw. And, of course, as you said, Tannis, there's also intimate correspondence between two lovers.
Of course.
But, yeah, and, you know, this is another reason why you don't want to use even if you did want to use these chat mediums that were not encrypted, you really need to watch what you're putting in your web browsers, because you can put one of these extensions in and you wind up in a situation where you're broadcasting whatever you're typing into your browser to the entire world. And that's what happened here. So
yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. And, you know, the best and simplest way of doing this is to just go into Google Chrome or Firefox and open the extensions tab, and you'll see all the extensions that you have enabled. And you can just do that and ensure that there's nothing that's unsafe running. So, but yeah, just a word of warning out there for everyone to be safe.
Yeah, be safe out there. Get a VPN.
I don't think that would have helped in this case.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have, would it?
It all comes down to what you install in your browser. So, All right, let's wrap up here. So we're going to move on to our skill of the month at the moment. And, you know, we had our October skill of the month where Sorensen 57 won with 71 million agility experience. Second place was Magebit with 28.5. And third place was Pernasiath with just over 10 million XP earned. So congratulations to everyone in that competition for continuing on through the end, it looks like. And Tannis, October skill of the month, or November skill of the month, cooking.
November, that's right.
2.7 million cooking XP gained in one day, 2.5 million by Flash, and 2 million by Sorensen 57. You're currently in first place.
Do you smell what the Tannis is cooking? Yeah. All month long, man. I'm here all month long. I'm just cooking up some French fries, Sorensen, some French fries, maybe a Whamburger. I'll serve you up a Heineken if you want one of those. I'm coming.
Well, best of luck to you. You also got Flash, who's only 200K behind you. Ahead of Sorensen here. So,
yeah, this is called the Conor McGregor strategy. That's where you talk shit and you either punch someone in the mouth and beat them, or you talk shit and then they knock you on your ass in the second round and then tap you out fourth. But hey, you know, that's neither here nor there. Either way, you have fun, right?
I believe the second half is going to be double XP weekend.
Yeah, that really throws a wrench into things. That's another reason I'm not thrilled about it.
All right. Also on the topic of wrapping the month up, our Informer Roundup is up for the month. You can find that at informer.rsbnb.com. Run through of what we talked about this month, including Virago, the holiday event, your talk about the 1990s console wars, and the RuneFest summary from Sirion and myself, and then also a bit of talk on RuneFest combat from David. So all that and more at informer.rsbnb.com.
That was a packed month, man.
Yeah, it was. We did well this month. Lots of RuneFest coverage, too, so I like that. So
very much.
All right. Let's do some achievements of the week. We actually have a lot this week compared to last week, so I'll get us started with this here. So first up on November 1st was Link V with 99 Dungeoneering. Also on the 1st, continuing, is Fintum with 99 Divination. Codely Yoko, I'm guessing that's how we want to say that, with 99 cooking. Alpha Leo on Halloween with 99 herb lore. Derpel New with 99 thieving, also on Halloween. Hello Bacon continuing on Halloween with 99 dungeoneering. Leo again with 99 farming. Now moving on to the 29th, we have Archie's with 99 strength. Thieves with 120 defense. Hello Bacon once again with 99 runecrafting, Darth Marth with 99 farming, and Nogard 210 with 99 slayer, also on the 29th.
Nice, nice. Well, we also had on the 29th Reiku with 99 dungeoneering, Ghost capping with 99 constitution on the 28th. Ghost capping with 99 ranged on the 28th, and ghost capping with 99 fletching on the 28th. Ghost capping with 99 defense on October 28th. Ghost capping with 99 thieving on October 28th. Ghost capping with 99 summoning on October 28th. That's quite the run there. Nice. We also have Elven Badass with 99 fishing on the 27th. Link V with 99 farming on the 27th. Link V with 99 runecrafting on the 27th. Curtinus with 99 prayer on the 27th. Silly Cat 98 with 99 prayer on the 26th. And Tambino with 99 fire making on October 26th.
Nicely done, everyone. Nice achievements all around. Lots this week. Lots of work. I can only begin to think what double XP weekend is going to look like.
Wow. That was, that's a hell of a week. People are putting in the work.
Indeed. All right. Time for pick of the week, which is this week an iOS game. I was unsure what to think of this game when I first got it, because it's really absurd. It's a puzzle game. No.
Oh, okay.
No. It's called Black Box. And it's a puzzle game with a grid full of puzzles, and you're not told what to do with them. You just basically get presented with a stage, and you need to do something. That's all there is to it. Some of them you need to interact with the buttons on your phone. Some of them you need to interact with the accelerometer. Some of them you need to interact with the rotation of your device. Some of them you need to put it on a level surface. I'm just naming off ones that were there. But you know what the oddest one was?
No.
open up the game with your phone plugged in.
That, I guess, is pretty odd.
Yeah. You know? And another one was to open up the game with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and cellular turned off.
Huh.
So you are literally presented with a black box. You need to figure out what to do with it. I've advanced through, let me see here, 17 stages of it. And I'm not sure where to go next. And
does anything like cool happen when you?
You get like a little jingle and whatnot.
Okay.
Like I'm on this one right now. All it's got is a picture of a moon on it, a crescent moon.
Hmm.
I'm guessing I might need to open this one up when it's a moon out there. When that's what the moon phase is. And, you know, it can do that based on location and whatnot and what the moon is and if you can see the moon and the like. So there's that.
Oh, that's cool.
There was another one where you had to turn the volume of your device all the way down. So that's what this is. It can be annoying at times, you know, like if you like having a manual on how to solve your puzzles, this game probably isn't for you. But if you like being given, you know, just something, say, here, figure out how this works, then this might be a game for you. But it's completely free. It's called Black Box. It's available on iOS exclusively. So check that out. Link will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. So I don't know.
Deal.
I mean, it's kind of a fun thing to just stare at for a bit and see if you have any ideas about that. But at the same time, I can see how it'd be frustrating for some people. So it's not for everyone, but it's a little bit odd. So that's why it's the pick of the week.
See, that sounds like the kind of game I'd like someone to tell me about, but not one that I'd want to like try to figure out myself, because I'd get mad.
Yeah,
I think.
Think of it as solving a Rubik's Cube, except you don't know how Rubik's Cubes work.
Yeah, that sounds very difficult.
Yeah. Available at blackboxpuzzles.com. So, all right, what have you been up to this week? I mean,
well,
I mean, we know, but tell everyone.
Sorry. Oh man.
On the 1 week we're not doing video show, right?
Yeah. It choke me all up, man. Man, I don't know why. I think that's the worst time this ever happened. Okay. What have I been doing this week? Not much other than cooking. I've been cracking a few eggs, you know, scrambling some XP, you could say. And methodically planning out how I am going to win.
All right, I assume you don't want to go full detail into plans here.
Oh yeah, my plan it's to beat Sorensen like a rented mule.
Okay. I see we're obviously still having some hard feelings from last month here.
I didn't do agility. Nah, hell, he's already kicked my ass in two other things, Slayer and Thieving. This time.
You're coming to collect.
I'm coming to collect this time.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much describes it then. No old school on mobile for you?
No, not yet. Yeah, I've been thinking about maybe downloading it on my wife's iPad and giving it a go over there. I heard it's actually even better on the iPad.
Oh, interesting. So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as for me this week on RS, I have started, of course, double XP weekend planning. I didn't expect to be shoehorned into that, but lo and behold, here we are. It's looking like the best route at this point is actually going to be Super Melee Potions, of all things. And that's easy because, in theory, super attacks are easy to come by. Super strength and super defenses are easy to come by as well, right? I mean, yeah. And you can make those yourself and you can sell them. So, and they're fairly common. So this one shouldn't be as hard. And if I can get everything lined up and do everything, and I have put lots of time in on that weekend, there's a small chance that I might be able to finish off 120 Herblore.
Oh, nice.
Well, basically what I'm counting on is I'm counting on the market for super attack potions and super strength potions and super defense potions to go down that weekend when people start selling them back. I don't know if that's going to happen. But if that happens, it'll be doable.
If it happens, it'll be like Saturday afternoon, probably.
Yes, precisely. Precisely. Mm-hmm. So, fingers crossed on that front. But aside from then, it's just going to be still herb farming because the toad flaxes are the best way to make money with herb farming still. So doing that and divination gathering when the farm's not in use and I'm not gathering mushrooms and the like. And on that note, I did set a new record for herbs harvested from one herb run. 121. The previous record was 112.
Oh, shit. Damn, Shane. Did you try that ultra compost?
Yes, huh? That was ultra compost.
Wow. Damn. Man.
And the master farmer outfit.
Man, every 10 runs, you have 1,000 herbs? That's crazy, dude.
But this doesn't happen all the time. You know, I'd say we're still probably in the average of around 70 to 80.
It's quite a bit, though.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we average 70 and 80. Getting north of 100 is still rare. getting 121 was just absolutely amazing, though.
Yeah, that, I've never even heard of those kind of numbers.
Yeah, previous was 112, so. And that was set back in June.
Wow.
Which would have been without Ultra Compost and without the Master Farmer outfit.
Okay. Well, that
so I'm fairly certain if we get another 112 like run and everything goes right, we can probably push it to 130, maybe even 140 eventually. So we'll see on that. But
that'd be cool, man.
It certainly would. But I believe that's it for this episode of Update. Anything else? I mean, I feel like I'm asking that, but I feel like we could be here a long time.
No, I feel like this has been a therapy session.
All right. Well, with that being said, everyone, we'll see you next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Until then, you can join us in-game at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. We're on Twitter at RSBNB. And you can join our Discord by heading to rsbnb.com/discord. See you next week, everyone.
Take care.